Well, when it comes to where farmers can sell the food they produce, we think of processors and co-ops or farmers markets and independent shops. But one overlooked market is public food procurement. The hundreds of millions of euro of public money spent every year by the government on food for nursing homes, prisons, hospitals and educational facilities, including the new school meals scheme. Well, across the EU, this market is worth an estimated 82 billion euro, sizable in both reach and force. So what's the potential for farmers to get involved? Well, Pat O'Sullivan owns a catering business called MasterChefs, and they sell into third level institutions. He recently became a farmer, a new farmer, because he bought 18 acres of land in Limerick to grow organic vegetables. During the week, I went down to meet him.
We bought this in summer of 21, in the middle of COVID. I'd been looking for quite a while and found this patch of land, and it was sold at auction during the pandemic, which was an interesting experience in itself.
So we are looking out on the land, and there is a small tractor going there cutting the grass. And then you can see in the centre part of your field, there are lots and lots of little tiny mini, what look like polytunnels. Mm-hmm. These are the vegetables. What are you growing?
We've about 20 products at the minute. Everything from brassicas to root veg to scallions, garlic, salads. There's a wide variety. Beets, pumpkins. Later on in the year, we're going to plant fruit trees and expand the range a bit. We've plenty of land to do that. So
you have not farmed before. You've never owned land before.
No, never. I don't know what it was. It just, that was always in the back of my mind that one day I'd have a farm and we'd grow our own produce.
Given the state of the vegetable sector in Ireland for the last couple of decades, I mean, it's a dwindling sector. It's a struggling sector. Are you mad to get into it?
I don't think so. I mean, you certainly don't want to be looking for overnight success here. It's convincing my team, my senior team, that this is the way to go. Short of 90% of our produce is being imported. It's not good quality. The taste and flavour isn't there. It's weeks old by the time we get it. The pandemic really brought it home to me because we were rejecting produce at the door of the production facility on a daily basis.
Can you give me an example of what you're rejecting?
Berries gone off, carrots melting in the plastic, you know, they were already going soft, and they go to liquid, you know, there's nothing in them, there's no substance in them. Like, we were sending back 30 or 40% of the daily fruit and veg order. Obviously, this is a massive investment, and we're fortunate in a position to be able to do it. But we said, look, once we are, and the time was now right to give it a go. There's certainly a market, there's a growing market there for it. It's certainly obvious at university, at third level. We're very active in that sector, we have been for a very long time. And when we survey the students and we listen to what they're saying, they're more and more conscious of what they're eating and where the food is coming from.
The government spends hundreds of millions of euro every year on food in hospitals, in schools, in universities, in nursing homes and all the rest. What, in your mind, is the potential for people like yourself or existing farmers to get a bit more of a slice of that pie, to maybe find a way into, for example, the new school meal scheme or hospitals nearby, like in Limerick? Is there a structure around which that could happen in different regions around Ireland?
That's something that I'm very interested in. So the more I've got into it, and with my entrepreneurial head, I see the problems. Like, how do you seasonally get rid of, for want of a better, how do you get rid of the produce in the 3-week period or the month window that it's at its best? So I've approached others in Tagusk and in industry, in public procurement actually, to tie around with the concept of creating a biodistrict. A biodistrict is essentially a social network of farmers, growers, end users, customers, public procurement, joining the dots, basically. So we're bringing together all the different market segments. speaking as one voice. And that's not just for horticulture, that's also for beef, that's for dairy, that's for milk producers.
So the idea is that all the farmers in one area, one district, so you could take Limerick, Clare and Galway,
yeah,
come together, be they farmers like yourself on a couple of acres to big dairy farmers if needed, and look to routes to market, maybe food procurement, all the rest.
You need somebody to bring it together as a cohesive group. The problem right now is that everybody is doing their own thing and nobody is joining the dots. So I found it very difficult, for example, to get an organic milk supply because nobody's really doing it. The guys in Galway have formed their own little co-op. They've gone into Bia in Athenry. They have a number of units taken there, and now they have gone to the UK and they have sourced equipment where they'll be able to put like bulk tanks into a third level institution, we'll say in my case, and we'll be able to draw off that in bottles rather than having plastic all over the place. So it makes it easier. It's about making the route to market easy for people. The potential is we stop importing rubbish and that we go back to what the country was designed, the green country that we're supposed to be. We're far, far from it. I think we're growing like 7% of what we're actually eating. I mean, that's shocking. Like in France, it's like 55%. Unless the government show a will to change that, it's not going to change. So, like, we have to create a route to market. And if that route to market is public procurement, well, then it needs to become a government issue.
And I'm joined by food policy specialist Ruth Hegarty from Galway. Ruth, I just wonder what the potential is for smaller farmers around Ireland, especially vegetable farmers, but not exclusively, when it comes to food procurement and the money that the government spends.
The reality right now is that we really don't have a mechanism in place to focus and target public procurement on small farmers and to make sure that all of the public money that's being spent on food and that's going into institutional catering and public catering is being channeled to our veg growers or our small farmers. But it's definitely something that we can do, and there's huge potential to really use public funding and public food procurement to shape the food system in the direction that we want to take it and to really enhance farmers' livelihoods.
Is there a good example of a country where it happens?
Well, I think one that's really interesting is Brazil, because they made a really clear decision in Brazil that they wanted to support family farms. And they also, at the same time, were really trying to tackle food insecurity. So the government made a decision that they would set up schemes where they source food directly from family farms. They channel that into initiatives like school meals that tackle food insecurity and improve people's diets. They've been able to make really specific decisions about how that money was used. They've, you know, asked farmers to come together in cooperatives, so it's really strengthened the family farming sector. They've set really clear figures around how many women need to be involved in each scheme that's supporting women in agriculture. And at the same time, as I said, they've used this scheme to bring produce that largely on family farms doesn't use pesticides or synthetic fertilisers, so there's a benefit to the environment and to health.
What is the potential in Ireland?
I think a really amazing way for us to look at it would be to start thinking about food procurement in terms of kind of local and regional hubs, you know, where the government could really put supports into these small farmers and give them what they really need, which is some security around what they're doing, some guarantee of a market and a fair price. I think if we look at, you know, the farmer protests that have happened around Europe in recent times, really, if you listen to the voices of farmers, the overriding message is we want to make a living out of farming. We want a fair livelihood. And I think public money could be used really effectively to do that.
And when it comes to things like the school meal scheme, which, you know, by 2025 looks like it's going to be something in and around a third of a billion euro every year of spend, are there other benefits linking local farmers with schools, or is that pie in the sky stuff?
I don't think it's pie in the sky. at all. I think we just need to make decisions about who we want to benefit from this public money and what we want the outcomes to be from our food system. And when you take something like, you know, a third of a billion being spent, that's the government's own figures, that's the budget for this programme, to roll it out to every school in the country, we really need to look at that and say, what outcomes are we getting from it, and who's it benefiting? And I think, you know, it should benefit, of course, the families and the children who are receiving those meals in terms of health, and it should go all the way back into our family farms and our small food producers who are, you know, producing with benefit to the land and to rural communities, and that money should circulate into those rural communities. We've got, you know, really significant amounts of public money overall in public procurement, hundreds of millions in this school food scheme, you know, 300 million a year, that is leaving the country essentially. You know, why would we invest all of this public money into buying in really, you know, the cheapest available food imported into the country to be fed to every child every day in school?
I've come up the road to the Galway campus of the Atlantic Technological University to meet Jacinta Dalton, head of the Department of Culinary Arts. Jacinta, you use public money through the procurement system to buy the food that you need to train 136 chefs every year. And yet what you're seeing is the difficulties, the blockages in sourcing from local farmers. What exactly is the problem?
I think one of the biggest challenges is first getting the message across that it isn't a huge amount of paperwork to get on the system in the first instance. We need to do better in terms of communicating to local farms and producers that we can help them get on the system if they so wish. And just as an example of what we did in recent weeks, together with my procurement team here on site, we set up a webinar. We sent out an email to all of our contacts in the region, and we invited them to come on a webinar. We walked them through the steps of how to get on the system, and then thereafter my colleagues assisted them on a one-to-one basis to get on that system.
So that's step number one, which is any farmer around Ireland who might be interested in getting a slice of the pie of the money that the government spends on food, get on this public procurement system.
Correct. They firstly must register on the eTenders platform. Then they will get notified if there are tenders listed. So if there's a hospital, a local school or whatever, that information will automatically hit them once they're registered. They can then decide to tender for a particular lot. So a lot might simply be farmhouse cheese, or it might be organic vegetables, or it might be beef, or it might be pork, or it might be chicken. And yes, it is possibly heretofore stacked in favour of the monopoly supply chain, who have procurement teams, who have administrative teams and so on. But my message to any farmer or producer listening to this today is, if they're interested, you know, knock on the local doors, talk to somebody like myself who would be more than willing to assist the process and get them on the system.
I suppose the most fundamental blockage is the financial one. The decisions made by government about cheap food, and they'll buy the cheapest possible tender, or do they look for higher quality?
The MEAT acronym, Most Economically Advantageous Tender, is typically what has been used in the public sector.
And that just means cheap.
Cheap. It does. Yeah. It's ultimately cheap, so cheap food. We all know that cheap food is problematic in the first instance, and it's causing so many of the issues that we're all dealing with day to day, from food waste to sustainable food channels and so on. We've moved away from that, so price isn't our top thing. So quality, sustainability, relationship building and so on are very important to us. So they're kind of our top three things. The other thing that we don't do as well, again, which is very important because it's in recognition of the challenges that farmers are facing from an inflation point of view, the energy costs, etc. We don't tie you into set prices for a year or 2 years at a time. We will do it over 3 months or over 6 months. And if there is something that fluctuates in the marketplace that's outside of your control, whether it's energy or grain costs or potato costs, whatever it might be, we will match those pricing once we're given adequate notice and so on.
And so we're standing in your kitchen here at the campus. We could also be standing in a kitchen in a hospital. Mm-hmm. Is it possible, from everything you're saying, that, for example, hospitals who buy a lot of food
could do exactly what you're doing?
As it so happens, in my past life, I did work as a catering manager in a hospital. We did a radical overhaul of the procurement at the time, and we looked to make some changes. We managed to get a certain part of the way. I would say that, yes, everything is possible. You have to have the right people that are passionate about the Irish food system and the Irish food chain to work on the buying. And, you know, hospitals have sick people. We should be only buying the best of produce to feed sick people.
It's one of the big things for the government to actually decide that this is worth doing.
Green procurement policy is optional. The first thing that should be done, and I believe it's a relatively easy fix, is mandate for the green procurement to be operational immediately in all public institutions. It's 100% worth doing. Not only is it worth doing in terms of the climate crisis, but it's also supporting the land, it's supporting the economy. I mean, even if every small producer was to get 5,000 from me and 5,000 from the hospital down the road and 5,000 from somebody else, there are salaries in that, you know. Forget about the bureaucracy, you know, move away from that and think of the potential that exists in terms of relationship building, particularly in educational institutions. I'm very torn with the school meal scheme because I do recognise that there are a number of children that do go hungry to school daily. But it needs to be looked at from a procurement point of view. There is an opportunity for the money to be spread into local communities so that everybody gets a piece of that pie, so to speak. Farmers can be in schools giving talks, kids can go out on field trips, and I think just overall it makes for a better food system.
And finally, the bureaucracy point would put a chill up the spine of any farmer to think, I'm just not going to get involved in more bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. Is that necessary? I mean, is there a way to look at food procurement and think, actually, we can simplify all of this a hell of a lot more?
Denmark, I suppose we all look to Denmark from time to time when we talk about food and what they've done. They have simplified the system completely. They've just mandated that, you know, food is organic in schools, that kids pay €3 a week for a meal, that the food supply chain is local and the money has to be reinvested in the local economies. We could do it. We need to just remove some of the steps that are in place and just simplify it so that if I have X number of euro to spend in a year, that I'm given free rein, I suppose, within some structures to be able to buy from my local producers without question.
There you go. Some very interesting ideas there. Jacinta Dalton, Ruth Hegarty and Pat O'Sullivan. And this coming September, there'll actually be a meeting in Limerick looking to establish a new bio district for farmers, what Pat mentioned. Anyone who wants more information, you can email pat@masterchefs.ie. And we